Hello, my name is Shani Tarrigan, and welcome to Torah Timacha, Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. Today, we will be studying Sefer Kohelet, Perek Aleph, Chapter 1. We note that Kohelet's first perek includes, in fact, two introductions. Pasuk Aleph, verse 1, introduces Kohelet's philosophy in third person, while in Pasuk Yud Bet, verse 12, Kohelet presents his own personal introduction in the first person. The introductions accurately reflect the segments they introduce. The first 11 psukim are all written in the impersonal, poetic third person, while the rest of the Sefer, until the last 7 psukim, are presented as personalized reflection in prose. Our first shiur then relates to the first impersonal section, hoping to appreciate its introductory role. We take a look then at the first section, serving much like a thesis proposal of a modern-day doctoral dissertation, by asserting conclusions without referring yet to its confirming proof. The thesis consists of two parts, the conclusion outlined by Pasuk Bet, verse 2, and its basis delineated by the subsequent 9 psukim. We begin, however, with what's known as the Ketovet, the exposition, wherein the Sefer is attributed to Kohelet. Divrei Kohelet ben David Melech Yerushalayim. These are the words of Kohelet, the son of David, who was king in Yerushalayim. At first, we're not exactly sure who Kohelet is. He can be any one of the sons of David, if the term king in Jerusalem comes to describe David. Pasuk Yud Bet, however, verse 12 corroborates in the first person. Ani Kohelet, hayiti melech al Yisrael b'Yerushalayim. I, Kohelet, myself was king over Yisrael in Yerushalayim. The only son of David who himself was king over a unified people of Israel in Jerusalem was none other than Shlomo. Shlomo begins his thesis then in verse 2. Havel havalim, amar Kohelet. Havel havalim, hakol havel. The word havel means vapor, something that is fleeting, evanescent, and therefore really is nothingness. Vanity of vanities, says Kohelet. Everything is vanities. The word havel, which is vapor, insignificant, is repeated 5 times, alashon nofel alashon, out of the 8 total words in this verse, indicating Kohelet's view of the world as offering nothing of long-term significance. Everything is ephemeral, and therefore, he wonders, what's the point of man's existence in this world? The Pasuk's second clause, in fact, highlights the claim's comprehensiveness by adding the word hakol havel. Notice the word's resemblance to the key word of havel, the kaf and the vet. This enhances the Pasuk's absolute denial of the importance of man living in this world. Pasuk Gimel supports Pasuk Bet's conclusion through the predication that man gains a yitaron, nothing, from all of his terrestrial exertion, tachat hashemesh. Ma yitron la adam b'chol amalo sheyamol tachat hashemesh. What is the yitaron? What is the gain? What is the short-term profit for man with all of the exertion that he labors with under the sun? Basically, what is the point of man's physical exertion in this world, of man's labor in this world, in short, of living life? And now, beginning with a pasuk Dalid, verses 4 through 7, are going to cite 4 natural cycles associated with 4 forms of matter, solid, liquid, gas, and energy, known in the ancient world as earth, fire, wind, and water, in order to support this assertion. He looks around at the world and he says, I'll prove to you that the world is in fact meaningless for man. Dor holech v'dor ba, ba'aretz lolam omedet. One generation passes, another generation comes, and the earth stays forever. Here we find that Pasuk Dalid relates to the succession of generations. Each generation looks condescendingly on the past while assuming itself to be the one that will significantly affect the future. In truth, though, while each generation passes, the world remains essentially the same. Dor holech v'dor ba. Everything is, in fact, monotonous, continuous. There is no movement. There's no development. People often encounter this truth when returning to places or frameworks, whether it's schools, places of employment, communities in which they once mattered. Often the nostalgic visitor, hoping to see their work's continuity, finds to their chagrin that they have been replaced by others who have either forgotten their predecessor's impact or have even altered or reversed earlier accomplishments. We now continue with Psukim Hei through Zayin, equating man's futile efforts to those of nature. V'zarach ha-shemesh u'v'ha-shemesh ve'el mekomo sho'ev so'reach hu'sham. Just like man, the sun also rises, the sun also goes down, and it also rises once again in the same place where it had risen the day before. Note his frustration here. The sun rises each day only to return to its point of departure. The verb shoaif, striving, intensifies our frustration by presenting the sun as shoaif. It's striving to set. It's striving to get somewhere. And yet, nature's covenantal commitment to sustaining its cycles obstructs any development or any change. In the end, the sun just rises in exactly the same place where it did before. The comparison to the sun may account for Kohelet's continued usage throughout the Sefer of the term Tachat HaShemesh, as opposed to the similar Tachat HaShemayim, in order to describe and enhance the futility of man's terrestrial efforts. Man's efforts, like those of the sun above him, cannot change the fixed cycle that maintains the world's balance. As opposed to Psukim, Dalin, and Hey, which both use a two-letter word of Ba, meaning that it appears that the man, generations, the sun, is headed, is moving, is trying to get to some location, Psukim, Vav, and Zayin employ an even sharper, more dynamic two-letter verb of shove, of returning, highlighting the determinism of nature's cyclical momentum. Nature's arrival at its departure point requires no reversal, but merely a return. Pasuk Vav notes the futility of the swirling winds whose alternating forces nullify each other's achievements. What results from all the energy expended by winds if objects are blown back to their initial place? Sobev, sobev, holecha el darom, v'sobev el tzafon, sobev, sobev, holecha ruach, v'al zibuvotav shav haruach. The wind goes towards the south, it turns to the north, it turns about continually in its circuit, and the wind returns again to its own circuit. As any meteorologist can attest, the winds, albeit they look like they're in movement, that there is constant kinetic energy, but ultimately they just return upon the same cycle. And similarly, Pasuk Zayin, Kol ha-nechalim holchim al hayam, v'hayam inenu malei, el makom sha-nechalim holchim sham him shavim lalechet. All the rivers run into the sea, and yet the sea is not full. To the place where the rivers go, they're then going to go once again. We recognize then that this last pasuk of the cycle, Pasuk Zayin, describes the water's precipitation, the collection, the eventual evaporation, serving as a metaphor, as we continue in Pasuk Chet, for our own inability to consummate our goals. The rivers, despite their steady flow, even though they look like they're getting somewhere, they never really fill the lakes or the oceans. Hayam enenu malei, symbolizing man's insatiability. Man's accomplishment seems senseless because he ultimately remains ungratified. He doesn't accomplish any significant goal. And this is what we're going to see now in Pasuk Chet, introducing the adverb of Yigeim, which connotes wary frustration. Man tires when he appreciates that even his most intensive efforts cannot bring him success and satisfaction. He, like the waters, just evaporate and undergo condensation in a cyclical fashion. And therefore, even though he was noting the four dominant cycles of earth, fire, wind, and water, of solid, liquid, gas, and energy, Pasuk Chet, Kol Hadvarim Yigeim, all things, in a comprehensive level, everything toils to weariness. Lo yuchalish ledaber, lo tispa ayin larot, v'lo tamale oza mishmoa. Even if you would say that man's goal is to say everything there is to say, man can't. He may know all of English, but not all of Japanese and Chinese, and he can't say everything that there is to say in this world. Similarly, lo tispa ayin larot, you can't see everything that there is to see. You may have seen Alaska in the summer, but you haven't seen it in the fall because you were busy in Scandinavia. In other words, man can see everything there is to see, and similarly, he can hear everything there is to hear. And therefore, Kohelet's assertion here is that there aren't any goals that man can actually accomplish in this world. You may say, as he continues now, in a pasuk tet and pasuk yud, verses 9 and 10 are basically going to parry an anticipated objection. Do we not see ourselves as cycle breakers? After all, pasuka, pasuk tet, ma shehaya hu sheyeh, u ma shenasa hu sheyaseh, ve'ein kol chadash tachat hashemesh. That whatever was, that's also what's going to be. You may think that you're changing, that you're progressing, but ke sera sera, ma shenasa hu sheyaseh, that which has been done is also what will be done. Ein kol chadash tachat hashemesh. And even if you say in the next pasuk, yesh davar sheyomar, re'e zachadashu, kvar haya la'olamim asher hayam lufaninu. You may take a look at certain things and say, this is new, this is innovative, this is and a new invention? No, it's been there already in all the ages before us, even the modern inventions of the World Wide Web, of the internet. No, they have all really been based on concepts and ideas before us, on fiber optics, on sound waves, and even modern modes of transportation. They're all, in fact, based on the wheel, on 360 degrees. Do we not see ourselves as cycle breakers? Are we not capable of innovation? Pasuk Yud supports the rejection of Pasuk Tet of our own innovative ability by denying the actuality of any genuine innovation. Even things that strike us as novel, Re'eza Chadash, no, in truth, they're merely improvements of preceding achievements. We don't really build new buildings. Rather, we add floors to foundations that were established in the past. We put up a new plaque every time there's a new donor. But innovation is only in the eye of the beholder. Our view of our accomplishments as innovative reflects our minimization of past roots, motivated by our desire to accentuate our own contributions. But these are all havel. These are all short-lived. Ironically, it's this desire that destines our own relative innovations to be likewise unappreciated. We know that even when we purchase an iPhone 10, there's already the technology for the iPhone 12, for that matter, already the technology for the iPhone 20. We should expect future generations to, like our own, emphasize their roles at the expense of ours. So Pasuk Yud Aleph alerts us that being a generation or two later on history's timeline will not earn our deeds any more recognition than those of earlier generations that we choose to forget. We should expect future generations then, like us, to forget their predecessors in order to focus selfishly on themselves. And this argument then, Pasuk Yud Aleph, Ein Zechron LaRishonim, VeGam LaAchronim SheYu, Lo Yalahem Zikaron Im SheYu LaAchrona. Notice the parallel, even in the rhyming of Ein Zechron, reminding us, in fact, of Pasuk Gimel, of Ma Yitron. Just as there's no short-term gain for man in this world, so too, there's no long-term memory. You may say, even if I don't gain something right now, people will remember me for the future. Kohelet asserts here that that's not true. Man's efforts, even for the long term, are inconsequential because not only do they lack a final gain, the yitaron, but there is also no zichron. Whatever is accomplished during one's lifetime gains the laborer nothing because he won't be remembered anyway by the beneficiaries of his efforts. And this really is sadly true. Ein zichron larishonim, just like we don't remember the people who lived hundreds of years ago, we also don't even remember the people who lived less than 100 years ago. Very often I'll ask my students, how many of you are zochet to know grandparents, great-grandparents? But it's very rare for people to get to know their great-great-grandparents who lived only about 100 years before them. And just as then, in zechron larishonim, gam lachronim sheyu. It's sad to say that we don't remember even the previous generations. And therefore, even sadly, is that the very fact that our own great-grandchildren, great-great-grandchildren won't really know us. I often think about this and say, okay, but we'll share our memories on a DVD and have them listen to it. DVD is already extinct. Okay, we'll make a Facebook page so that our great-great-grandchildren will know who we are. By then, Facebook will probably also be extinct. But even with that, will they really get to know who we are? Unfortunately, our memories are going to be forgotten. No one will remember us. Lo yalehem zikaron im shiyu lachrona. Even the more recent people are forgotten together with the people who lived before them. We see here that Kohelet's thesis in 11 psukim provides a genuine glimpse of his goals and methods. As opposed to the deductive philosophical approach which attempts to prove its principles, Kohelet hopes to help us appreciate the need for these principles by honestly appraising the alternative. What is man's life without them? Our sometimes unenthusiastic, inadequate commitment to religious principles that we're ostensibly convinced of reflect both our inability to fully believe in what we cannot see and our subliminal assumption of possible substantial alternative modes of meaningful life. Kohelet aims here to fortify commitment to an invisible God and the principles of this God by forcing us to frankly appraise our alternatives. He says, take a step back and look at this world and ask yourselves, my yitron, is there any advantage? Is there any gain from this world? Not even necessarily from a Jewish perspective. Look and take a step out and look and observe nature. Look at these four cycles and see that everything is monotonous and cyclical. And therefore, he comes to the initial conclusion that there is no yitaron and there is no zichron. There's no short-term, there's no long-term gain or purpose of man in this world. And therefore, he says, what we can otherwise hope to accomplish or gain during our fleeting stay in this world is now the question that we're going to continue with. We will see then the continuation of the first chapter as he begins the first person prosaic form of his conclusions, beginning with Pasuk Yudbet, which Be'ezrat Hashem will continue with tomorrow. Thank you for studying together. Li'iloi Nishmat, Malka Esther, Batzvi Yosef, Zechrona Lebracha.